The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We got a lot to get to today, Mike Bell. We got a big show. You mentioned Weston's going to stop by. West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, and we'll talk about this upcoming game. Listen, I thought last week was the biggest game of the season. This week is the biggest game of the season.
Yep.
Because every time you take an L now, they are accumulating in that column that says you're not going to the playoffs. Every time we collect another L right now, it's just getting closer and closer to us not getting to that ultimate goal. So last week, and Coach joked with this, right? We left and we said, it's the biggest game. And he goes, aren't they all? Not really. Last week was really big. We should have hopefully taken care of business. We didn't on the road. And now, Mike, you got to go on the road against the Raiders and take care of business. So this is the biggest game because you're trying to now snap a four-game losing streak.
Like, the best you can hope for now is to remain in a tie with the Bucks for the division. That's your only hope, guys. Seriously. You got to go on the road, D.C. You know, we just saw what happened with the Vikings. This Raiders game, on paper, it's a more winnable game. I mean, certainly you'd like your chances with the quarterbacks, but at this point, how do you feel confident about anything with Kirk Cousins and this offense? Yes, we played better against Minnesota, certainly, but then you still got boat race at the end of the game, Carl. So I still don't agree with Coach's assessment. I will ask him about it on Thursday. I think you explore all options when you're in the middle of a four-game losing streak and you've basically just blanked away your division lead. But they feel differently. They feel that Cousins, to paraphrase Coach, has earned the right through the things that he did well before the slump.
That's exactly what he said yesterday. We're going to talk plenty about the Falcons. But, guys, as we get today started, here's the thing about where Georgia is as we get ready to start the college football playoff. If, in fact, and it looks this way right now, Mike, that Gunnar Stockton is going to be the quarterback, he's the 12th best quarterback in these playoffs. I'm going to repeat that. He's the 12th best quarterback in these playoffs. Everybody else is better. And the reason is they've had a season to prove it. Some of these guys have had a couple of years to prove it. But I don't even think it's close that Dillon Gabriel is the best quarterback in these playoffs for Oregon. Kevin Jennings at SMU is a stud. And for those of you who have not watched him, you will get a chance to see him. Cade Klubnik has come on at Clemson, Mike. We gave his stats yesterday. Will Howard at Ohio State, better. Riley Leonard, Notre Dame, better. The reason why I'm saying this, Mike, even the guy at Indiana is better.
Wait, you're telling me he's better than Maddox Madsen of Boise State?
He's better.
And by the way, Maddox has not been asked to do too much because they've got the best running back in the country, but he has thrown for 22 touchdowns and just three picks.
2,700 yards, he's better. Quinn Ewers, as disappointed as I am as watching him, he's better. Proven. Sam at Arizona State. Here's what I'm getting to. I don't think Georgia wins this national championship unless Carson Beck is available. And I think for all the things that we've been disappointed about in his play, Mike, it's been uneven, right? We've discussed it.
Right.
Ups and downs, interceptions, good games, bad games, good halves, bad halves. I don't know that much about Gunnar Stockton.
I know a lot more
about these other guys.
Right. Even Kirby kind of said it afterwards, you know, that he, other than some mop-up duty in some of your Laffer games, no, he's not. You've never seen this guy against the elite competition. Now, Georgia does a great job of getting rotational linemen in there, rotational players at every other position other than quarterback over the course of the year to get those reps.
He does. And I think this is the biggest challenge for Georgia. Now, again, we're hoping that he's back. But I've been hearing this notion after yesterday. Oh, I heard you guys talking about Carson. If he ain't back, we're going to be okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You still need a dude. You still need a guy. Nico at Tennessee, better. Like, he is the 12th best quarterback going into these playoffs. Now, Mike, if they win it, and for some reason Gunnar Stockton leads the Dogs to a national championship, this is a different conversation. But right now, you guys tell me, Drew Allard at Penn State, better.
Yeah, Drew Allard's a stud. You can't argue with that. Guys, the question I've had, it was funny, I was just talking with Carl off the air, so I'll bring the conversation on the air. You know, Florida was about to pay, allegedly, Jaden Rashada $13 million. That lawsuit is ongoing. So he just decided to come to Georgia for free? He just came here on a Groupon? Kirby just got him down here to, you know, hey, you know, come on down. To be what, the fourth guy in the quarterback room? I don't know. I know that, and I invoked the Urban Meyer Ohio State season, the year that Tom Herman got the coaching job at Houston because he had three different quarterbacks play over the course of the season and two during the playoffs to win a title. And it's something that Florida State didn't really have. That's why the committee dropped them out of the playoff last year, fair or unfair. But are you see, I don't know if there's a Georgia fan out there. To your point, how can you say definitively you even know what Gunnar Stockton is?
No, you don't.
You don't. And when he did, was asked to throw the football, let's be honest, it was an unmitigated disaster and it cost you a touchdown.
I think he gave them a spark because it was different and they went up tempo a little bit in that game in the SEC. But if I look at just right now, and if you feel like quarterback matters in college football as it does in the NFL, and it does, Dylan Gabriel right now is the guy that has the advantage. He's played the best. His team's number one. He's almost thrown for 4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns this year. He's been accurate, consistent. I think that stuff matters, Mike. And so we cannot go into these playoffs and say, well, the Dogs will just be fine with Gunnar Stockton, and you feel 100% confident about that.
Right.
You tell us where you're at. 404-726-0929. You can text us. Find Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. We're going to examine all of these guys as we get closer and closer to the start of the playoffs. But as we had this conversation yesterday, and some people were just like, well, Beck will be fine. If he's not, we'll be okay. No, you're not. As inefficient at times as he's been, he still gives you your best chance to win a national championship.
Right. Now, it's funny. I went back, I was looking at some of the numbers from that 2014 season, you know, and it's 10 years ago. It was Braxton Miller, then it was JT Barrett. And you realize, guys, Cardale Jones' first game starting for the Buckeyes was against Alabama.
Crazy.
In the national semifinal in the Sugar Bowl. And that's what just makes that run just even to me. I'm not a big fan of Urban Meyer. I think he had an ethics bypass at birth, but that's a hell of an accomplishment to go through multiple quarterbacks en route to a national championship. And Kirby can do likewise if Gunnar Stockton can be the man. We'll talk to Seth Emerson about it at 4. But I'm just curious. I mean, you would think you would explore all options, but knowing how conservative Kirby is, and there's always a pecking order, and the third guy never jumps the second guy, I just would love to know about a guy named Jaden Rashada, who started a couple of games for Arizona State and is supposed to be an all-world player to the point that an SEC school is going to throw $13 million at him. He's not even in the conversation.
Yeah, and if you're going to say, Dukes and Bell, look, we can win another national championship with a good running game with ETN, right, Mike? Great defense. Mm-hmm. And let's just say Stockton, if he has to play throughout the course of these playoffs, he doesn't have to throw for 300 yards. That's how we're going to win. Right. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, especially if ETN, and by the way, we mentioned it yesterday with game balls, ETN really, you know, showed some real, you know, moxie to be able to handle the ribs. I mean, it's one thing to be a position player, but to be a running back and take the contact with jammed up ribs, that was great. But they're going to lean into the run game. Frazier, stop fumbling. Stop fumbling. But at some point, though, Carl, you know that Gunnar Stockton is going to be asked to step up.
He's set behind Carson Beck for the last 2 years. And I just think right now, if you're asking me where the advantage is, whether it's Oregon or SMU or Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, it doesn't matter. This is where these other teams have an advantage with Gunnar Stockton starting these playoffs for the Dogs. 404-726-0929. We got a lot to talk about. Coming up, we'll get to the daily download. Also, Kirby talking about the transfer portal, Mike. It is open. And you're seeing names pop up around college football. Again, let's just call this what it is. It's free agency. This is free agency. That's what it is, man. I mean, guys get in the portal. This whole thing, well, he's in the portal. That means he's able to go wherever he wants, and who's going to offer more money? I mean, like that's what this is for college football right now.
Yeah, and it's tough because I was talking to a couple of my buddies down in Tallahassee, and a guy that I was excited because I got some cousins who live in Savannah, and their kids went to college with Luke Cromanhook, who was the quarterback this year for Florida State, and he's already out because Gus Malzahn's coming in, and there's talk now that FSU's looking at the Boston College quarterback. It just, I think at some point, you know, even though we're just talking about the quarterback rotation with Kirby, you do have to have a quarterback that you develop in your building for a couple of years, and that's part of your culture. That's leadership, and that's like having a guy who's a star linebacker or lineman going to stick around for a couple of years. But the idea that you're going to continue to do it through the portal at QB, coming off your worst season, that's...
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just strictly an FSU problem, but it does apply, I think, to a number of schools around the country. You, for instance, Gus Malzahn's got this hot stud quarterback. Is the kid going to stay? I mean, I should say Hugh Freeze, not Gus. Gus was at Auburn. But if Hugh Freeze is going to turn things around, that kid's got to stick. You know, that's why you and I said the sort of the devaluing of National Signing Day, knowing that you could be gone in 12 months.
No doubt. I think, you know, you're always now, even more so than it used to be. It used to be just you're going to have 3-5 stars if you were a good enough program. Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State. You're going to have 3-5 stars on the bench. Now, those guys are going other places. So, Mike, you're always constantly looking to replace the guy that, in case he leaves, right. I have a guy in mind.
So, Castellanos, who had kind of a down year for BC, he apparently could be on the hot track to Tallahassee. We'll see.
Coming up, Falcons need a good game plan against the Raiders. And what might that look like, whether it's Ridder or O'Connell? We'll tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we were discussing in the break there about Gunnar Stockton, and this is nothing to do, we're not against the kid. I'm just telling you the reality of you're about to enter a playoff where your quarterback is the least experienced of all the other guys that are playing and more than likely considered to be the 12th best quarterback in the 12-team playoff. And for Georgia fans, many of you have not thought about it that way. You just think that my team and our team is pretty damn good. They are. But it's also been about Carson Beck at his best when this team has looked like it's an elite team. Like, that's a national championship caliber team in offense when he's playing at his best, but it's also looked the other way, Mike, and we saw that. You got to go back, obviously, the first half of the Alabama game, or, you know, you look at Ole Miss. That wasn't totally Carson Beck's fault. Everybody got outplayed that day.
Right.
So,
again, I'm looking forward to talking to Seth Emerson at about 4 o'clock and say, hey, what do we even know about Jaden Rashada? Because, obviously, at practice, you know, it's the access the media has is at a premium. But I'm curious, what kind of reps does he get? Is he in the mix? And I went back, as we said, guys, JT Barrett was the starting quarterback who got hurt right before the playoffs that year that Ohio State won their title or won title under Urban Meyer, and Cardale Jones was the next man up. You know, they eventually, you know, went on to win the championship. I'm just curious, are you exploring all your options, or is it always simply they always defer to the man who's been in the program the most, the longest, and that's certainly the way Kirby's operated, which you can't argue with. He's got two natties from it.
Yeah, he does.
But I'm just looking for, to your point, if you looked at both quarterbacks, and for what it's worth, Rashada did start 3 games for Arizona State. So, I mean, that matters to fans or not. I'm just and guys, I had guys on the text line. Well, are you playing the race card? I'm not playing. I'm talking about the best athlete. You're making it a racial thing. I'm talking about who's the best athlete. Who's the guy who gives you the best chance to win? Who's the guy who gives you matchup issues? You know, he's not considered a dual threat, but he's a really mobile quarterback who can move around in the pocket.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're going into these playoffs, if I'm coaching any of these teams, doesn't matter who it is, Arizona State, pick your team. I want to put our team in the best position to win every chance. I got 4 weeks, right, for the teams that are going to host these home games. You got 4 games. Georgia gets to bye, they get 3, right? If they get to the championship game, you got 3 weeks where, Mike, you have to play really damn good and put it all together. who gives me the best chance to do that? That's really what we're talking about. And if that means you're playing somebody that maybe you haven't played, it's the same discussion we're having about the Falcons. If we're not playing well, how do I get my team to get a spark or play well? And who gives me the best chance to do that?
Now, Gunnar Stockton certainly can win a game with his legs. We saw that. He's got a different element. Maybe you could argue. Even Carson Beck can pick him up and put him down. But how is he going to be able to throw? You're going to have to, like, at some point, they're going to take away some of the things you're trying to do, and they're going to make Gunnar Stockton beat you. That's just common sense.
Let me tell you, I don't care who they end up playing. And if it's Notre Dame.
That's a good deal. That's what we said earlier. That's a really good deal. I know we can joke around about losing to NIU, but that's like literally a season ago. They're a really good defense.
Freeman has them balling, and I'll say this. They will take away the run. And then they're going to literally say, hey, Gunner, go ahead. If you throw for 350 today against us, you can win. And I think that's going to be the challenge. Big O, what do you want to add, man?
I think there's a reason why Georgia fans right now maybe aren't sweating the idea of Gunnar Stockton over Carson Beck. And it's the 24 days that Kirby has it between the end of the season right now and the playoff game. 24 days to get Gunnar Stockton ready. Go back to their first national championship run. You had Stetson, who had all the doubt coming off the SEC championship game. You had 3 weeks to get that guy ready for Michigan.
After the loss.
Yep. They went out there and rolled over Michigan, and you saw a different quarterback in the Alabama game.
Right. So after the loss, bam, in the SEC championship. Right.
Yeah, you got 24 days to prep Gunnar in every single way he needs to be prepped. So he might not have the experience, but you got time in between to get this guy ready to play.
And that's why the bye was so important. That's why winning that game on Saturday was such a big deal. To think if Georgia had to turn right around here and potentially not have the bye and the extra time, it might be a different story. That's a great point, though. I still believe if you were to give me a chance to pick, if we were in the backyard and I said, okay, all these guys are available. Here are the 12 quarterbacks. I'm still not picking Gunnar Stockton until 12.
Now, Gunnar Stockton, for those who don't remember his recruitment, this is a kid who accounted for 70 touchdowns his senior year in high school. 55 in the air, 15 on the ground, and he also stuck around. And it's also kind of on the other side of the argument is, here's a kid who's going to be rewarded for being loyal, for not stepping out as everybody else does now in the transfer portal, which he could have done.
But you think he'll be the starter, obviously, going into spring?
Yeah. Now, again, but you and I were just talking about it. Carson Beck, a lot of mock drafts, Carson Beck is not even considered a first-round pick. I wouldn't go as far as some people have said he's a day-three guy, but I think Carson Beck's stock certainly took a giant tumble from being a potential Heisman hopeful to start the season to where, you know, you don't even think about it.
If I'm not top 10, if I'm him, I'm coming back. I'm leaving a lot of money on the table. And if that is the case, and we'll know more here as we get to the spring, if that is the case, Mike, then you're talking about him potentially going somewhere and probably starting his career as a backup, not a starter, because he wouldn't be picked high enough to be considered, well, we absolutely have to start him. It doesn't mean that he might not have a great NFL career, but if I have a chance to go back and wow everybody and say, wow, look at the difference between last year and this year. And by the way, they went out. Kirby knew what he needed. He went out and got receivers. He's going to have better receivers next year.
He couldn't have any worse, I can tell you that. But that's an interesting point. And then as Randy McMichael was saying, do you necessarily want Carson Beck back based on some of the things that happened this year? If Gunnar Stockton shows out in a small sample size.
Well, the way they talk about him, I would hope that they would. I mean, the way the Kirby rants and raves about how good he is and what a great kid he is and all this stuff, if he wants to come back, you should be open arms. You're telling me all this experience I'm about to let go because we don't want him? Unless, Mike, you feel like whoever's in that quarterback room is so much better than what you currently have.
Well, I thought Beck took a big step backwards this year. I don't know if we talked about the pressure, and like we're not talking about an interview about his film study. It has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. We're talking about too many interceptions. Yes, he's got a receiver core that didn't help him at times, but he also threw it directly to the other team a number of times. Way too much.
All right. What's going to be this game plan for the Falcons? Because it is important that not, number one, they execute it, but number two, everybody right now is talking about who the Raiders quarterback is going to be. I want to be clear about this. I don't care. I don't care who it is. You are a better team, even though we've lost four in a row, than the stinking Raiders are and have been all season long. If you lose this one, Mike, and I don't care if it's Aiden O'Connell or if it's Desmond Ridder, and I know that hurts us just a little bit more because he was terrible here, but it shouldn't even matter who the quarterback is, because you should be better than the Raiders like everybody else has been this year. With that said, I do want you to hear Raheem Morris talking about Desmond Ridder. He was asked about it yesterday. And what if Ridder is starting? Big O, 13. Let's hear Raheem Morris.
If he gets an opportunity to go out there and play, I'm sure he'll have a full practice week. He'll be able to prepare the right way and get ready for us. a familiar opponent, some people he know, and now we got to get ready for him as well. So he can run the football. He's talented. He's athletic. He's big. He can throw the football. He did a lot of good things. He wasn't able to lead our team into the way that we wanted him to go to the future. He's getting a second opportunity, like most a lot of quarterbacks do in this league, and we got to get ready to play him or Aiden and be ready for both or either one that shows up.
Now, I think Aiden O'Connell obviously is better, and Ridder's getting potentially a second chance with the Raiders. But, I mean, like, those are nice comments. Let's be honest. Atlanta, what do you remember about Desmond Ridder? You guys are ready to move on, and there were various reasons why.
Well, I was ready to move on after the fourth week because he's just not that good. He's just not an NFL starting quarterback. And, look, you can put him around better talent, and maybe you'll get slightly better results, but he just doesn't process things. And he had a chance, and they gave him every opportunity. And we can debate, you know, the coaching staff and the decisions and some of the things that Arthur did with him. I still think they did him a disservice by not getting him more reps. But again, that ship has sailed. But if you do lose to this guy who's proven he couldn't cut it here, that would really be the ultimate embarrassment for this team. I know that's something that Coach Rod, nobody in that room is going to talk about this week, but the fans know that and the media knows that.
No. I mean,
that's a joke. If you lose to Desmond Ridder, that's a joke. You've got a 5-game losing streak, and the quarterback that you gave $100 million guaranteed to has lost his way. You better get a damn touchdown this week. We're going to go five. I'm going to have to listen to Raheem Morris after 5 weeks of no touchdown throws? That we still trust this guy? Come on. At what point, Carl, do you say, yes, he's won some games, but for whatever reason, he's lost it?
Yeah. Look. I keep saying it's a big week. At some point, it will be a big week for them to make a decision. Whether it's staying the course, which obviously that's where we are now, or moving on. But you're absolutely right. Like, that is what this comes down to, which is why I don't care who the quarterback is. It should be Cousins versus anybody they want to throw out there, and Cousins should be way better.
Right.
Proven.
But you've got to find a way to you just said it. It's a bad football team. It's a bad organization. It has been for a number of years. And, yes, it is a road game, and that's that all that entails. But still, it's Las Vegas. If the Falcon fans have booked this, there should be a good representation of our fans. It's not an intimidating atmosphere by any stretch. Just go get the freaking win, and let's get back on track and hope the Chargers do us a favor and beat the Bucs.
404-726-0929. Let me hear Ra also talk about Michael Penix because, again, he said yesterday Kirk Cousins is still our guy, but it doesn't mean that Penix isn't doing all the things that they're asking him to do.
It's for sure Kirk, you know, our quarterback, but I have no hesitations in what our young man has been doing and how he's been preparing and the things that he's ready to do. So if that time ever came, I would have a lot of confidence in what Mike's able to do, but Kirk's our quarterback. Kirk's the guy who's going to lead us. We still got a big-time opportunity to come up here on Monday Night Football with Kurt leading us, and I'm fired up to go out there and get us to go play better.
All right, one thing for certain, if you play as bad as our defensive secondary did in this game, anybody can beat you because, I mean, if I have to watch these memes one more time of our receivers, of D. Alford literally going, how about, is he left, is he right, which way did he go? It's like watching Wile E. Coyote and Bugs Bunny. Or Roadrunner, I should say. It's painful. They got to tighten that up. Jimmy Lakes, by the way, no great shakes as coordinator. I know we've amped up the heat on the sacks have come. We got 9 the last 2 weeks. But still, this is not a good defense. Also, if we're going to get down to brass tacks, Carl, it's not a good defensive unit.
So here's what's funny. Everybody was crying about sacks, and they're getting them. We're still not winning.
Nope.
So what's it mean?
Sacks don't matter.
Do they matter? I mean, seriously, Mike. Smitty said it. But do they matter? We're getting what we all complained about.
Yeah, they matter when Justin Simmons finishes the job. They matter if you get the quarterback on the ground and get the team off the field when you needed to. I mean, unfortunately, these were empty calories, to your point.
They were. And listen, that's not to say we don't need them or I don't want 5 more on Sunday. Guys, you never get enough of this stuff. Eventually, the worm's going to turn, right? Eventually, we're going to get a strip sack. We're going to get some turnovers out of this, and hopefully the coverage part of it that Mike's talking about plays out like it should. Last week was embarrassing, plain and simple. Like, the defense, as good as it's been at times this year, all of those guys should be, like, running stairs. That was embarrassing the way our secondary, specifically at times, looked lost. How does that happen in week? Where are we at, Mike? 14?
Right.
How does that happen? Like, lost, blown coverages. I get one. Okay, maybe even two. It seemed like it happened all day.
Yeah, it's just this team, and this is the concept we talked about going all the way. Remember, give us some credit, and I think Hughes has done a nice job, Mike Hughes, but we talked about this secondary, and do we have the depth? And, you know, we focused because we decided to go quarterback in the first round. We decided to, when there was a run of corners in the second, we got no part of that. There was a number of guys that are starting right now in the NFL that we decided to pass on. And we made it a personnel decision, personnel department, the general manager, that we didn't need that. And we went with veterans, and we've got guys in the building who aren't doing the job. I mean, we've talked, again, both, if you look at this team, Carl, it's like both units on defense, there have been moments where they've been really good, and then they've fallen off. The right. Secondary's gone off the rails again. Quarterback play's gone off the rails, and now the edge rush is actually amped up. But we never play complimentary football, the entire team as a unit, for four quarters. That has not happened at all this season. Not in the Cowboys game, even in some of our better wins this year.
It has fallen apart at some point. You're right. All right, we got a lot more to get to. When we come back, he's getting close to a decision, and it's not the Braves. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk about what happened last night. You talk about ways to lose. Boy, Cowboys continue to find ways to lose.
And Jerry's explanation, by the way, is further proof he has no clue what's going on.
Well, didn't he live this like 30 years ago?
Yep. Leon Lett.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, man. Joe Burrow, we'll get to this in the Blitz. Guys, he's having a special year. And the record does not reflect it. But literally, like, he's healthy. And this is Super Bowl Joe Burrow. It really is.
This is, you know, we talked about years in past with how bad Falcons defenses have been. This is the worst defense I've ever seen in the NFL. The Bengals, I mean, to have a guy that good, that talented, it almost reminds you a little bit of like the Chargers with like Dan Fouts. You know, they always had the high-flying offense. They had good running backs. But the defense but their defense was never as bad as this Bengals. This is the worst defense I've ever seen.
It is. It's terrible. It really is. It's like every time the offense is on the field, and they literally are, we got to score. Like that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like when you had like a great quarterback, but the defense, the other side of the ball was just garbage. Because you know Marino always had decent defense. He's never had a run game, you know? And John Elway always had good defenses. I mean, just could never beat those NFC teams in the 80s because those NFC teams are so much better.
Crazy, man. We'll talk more about it. Also more about what's going on around the National Football League as we get ready for Monday Night Football for the Falcons. That is going to be in Vegas. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Mike, apparently Max Fried is nearing his decision. Here are the teams. It's not the Braves. Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays. The Yankees, Red Sox doesn't surprise me. The Blue Jays a little bit because, the kind of money we're talking about. But for everybody who was wondering, you know, what's going to happen with Max Fried, this is the part that Mike kept talking about during the season. When I said, hey, I'd love to have him back. And Mike said, look, he's going to get offered a lot more money elsewhere. And obviously that is the case for a guy like Max Fried. Two-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glover. We know what he did for us in the 2021 World Series in that big moment where he just stepped his game up. But he's 30 years old, and Mike, he's about to get, and apparently these deals are on the table, right? When you find out like he's nearing his decision, this is like Soto. I got two deals. I'm about to make my decision. That is Fried. Is he going to the Yankees? Is he going to the Red Sox? Or is he going to the Blue Jays? Where do I want to go? Because if the money is equal, and it probably is, where do I want to go? Mike, I think he's going to be a Yankee.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you got short porch. I mean, for lefties, you know, it's you always think of like right-handers will struggle because of the Green Monster. But either way, those are tough places to pitch. Yankee Stadium is still a tough place to pitch, if we're honest. But, hey, the money's right. And if he goes to the American League and our interests don't conflict with interests, we wish him well. Toronto. Everybody.
The Yankees have more? I shouldn't say more.
Well, they have $750 million burning a hole in their pocket that would have been earmarked for Soto.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a nice place, plus less pressure. I mean, I don't like, we were talking about this the other day with the audience. There's no hometown discount, and because he saw other players, and like, I get it. The way that Alex operates, it's great. You're locking players. You think Ronald Acuna now, he can't really say anything because he's been injured of late. But you look at some of these contracts that are resetting the market, and Braves have got some of the great values in baseball. Acuña and Albies alone.
Agreed.
That's two players, which doesn't even add up to like a third of some of these contracts. But you get back to Fried, this is the only chance to get paid. So, yeah, Yankees, Red Sox. How about that?
They are – yeah, I'm with you. The Blue Jays is – it's not weird because we just traditionally haven't seen the Blue Jays spend this kind of money. Right. Over the years. But listen, there was a time where Roger Clemens was a Blue Jay, right? And you kind of went, that sounds weird. A lot of people are saying he wanted to go back to the West Coast, but these West Coast teams are not interested. Giants are not a finalist. The Angels, Mike, are not a finalist. He was interested in going back to the West Coast, but those offers are not there. So he's more likely going to end up in one of those two places.
And again, it's funny, whenever we talked about Freddie, everybody became a tax expert that was a Braves fan. Do you remember that? I do know when you're in Canada, that's 80, you know, you got 81 games of a very higher tax rate up there in Canada.
Well, and you know what's crazy?
If that matters to you.
Well, here's the deal, and I don't know if it does. Juan Soto just signed that deal. I mean, New York, you know, the taxes in New York are stupid.
Yeah, it's not as bad as Cali, but it's close. But you're right, man. I got a fun story coming up in Guy Talk about Juan Soto and how the Yankees blew this deal. And it's not about the money. You'll be surprised.
All right, guys, want to hear from you, 404-726-0929, as we're talking about the Dogs, obviously the Falcons, and more on the Falcons coming up and more on what Raheem Morris had to say. Mike and I will be up there at Flowery on Thursday, kind of a different week because of the Monday night football game, but we'll get a chance to visit with Coach on Thursday. And then, as we mentioned, and maybe we haven't, but we're going to Army-Navy again this year, and we're looking forward to that over the weekend. Saturday, I think the game, it's the only game, by the way, that's on.
I think it's 3 o'clock at FedEx Field.
Yeah, 2 o'clock pregame here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and 3 o'clock kick. Is it FedEx Field now? Whatever the name is.
Yeah, I'm so bad on my naming rights. It used to be, like, I still can't call Heinz Field, whatever the hell they call it these days in Pittsburgh. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I had not been to the Army-Navy game since I was a kid, and you and I had, I don't want to speak for you, but we had so much friggin' fun up in Boston with that game. The atmosphere, the environment, and we got to be on the field on the Navy sideline, it so happened, and we watched the game play out right in front of us. It was great.
It came down to a goal line stand, basically, for last year. But Army's so good. Like, this is no fluke. They've already won their conference. They will be favored in the game if you're into things like that. And then, you know, you're going to have a 12-1 Army team. Go Army. And the committee didn't even look at him, Mike.
Yep.
Didn't even give him a chance.
I guess their only chance, like, it would have been a Herculean task to beat Notre Dame with the depth Notre Dame had, but that didn't happen. But, yeah, it's still going to be a special season. And it's, again, I love it. And I know that Nestler, we're going to hopefully catch up with Brad on Friday. He's got a million things. He's meeting with the coaches, too, that day. But, yeah, it's great. It's tradition. And we're hoping it was going to not get watered down because of so many. Remember, early in the year, there was a chance that Army-Navy could have rematched.
That's right.
Because of the conference championship. Either way, we'll be up there in D.C.
All right, that's going to happen over the weekend, and we'll be back here on Monday. But that's going to be a lot of fun. Friday, we can't tell you who. All we know is there's going to be a plethora of guests that will be stopping by. Some names you know, some high-ranking military officials. I mean, it's going to be an interesting show because we love to talk about that game and what it means for our country. All right, as we continue on, and we said NFL Blitz is on the way, one other thing I do want to mention, Mike, is we get to talking about this Belichick situation, because here's the other thing I've gotten this week after the loss with the Falcons, that the Falcons made a mistake, that we wouldn't be in this predicament if, and listen, whether it's fair or not, I'm just stating what's been said to me. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be in this predicament if Arthur Blank made the decision to go with Belichick. And I just want to examine this for a second. You didn't feel that way when we were 6-3, right? We felt like this thing was on the right track. We were moving in the right direction. What Ra has to do and what this coaching staff has to do now and this front office, because everybody's responsible, is show us, Mike, they can fix it. They have to show us they can right the ship. Because if they can't, we're going to continue to lose trust. I don't think this has anything to do with Belichick. If Belichick was here and we were 6-3 on a 4-game losing streak, you'd feel the same way. And as a matter of fact, you'd be calling us saying, Dukes and Bell, man, he ain't no good no more.
And look, as we said, whether or not it got so far down the road that Belichick maybe cost himself the opportunity with other teams, it never happened. Nobody else hired Bill Belichick. His best job offer is to be at North Carolina. And the bargaining chip in
North
Carolina after Mac Brown has just flamed out in his second visit. I mean,
thank you, Cerno.
I mean, and the idea that is I'll say it, his idiot, you know how I feel about nepotism.
Yes.
That his idiot son is going to be like the coach in waiting. His greatest accomplishment is being the defensive coordinator for one season at Washington. So it's weird. But getting back to your initial point, I get it. All of the people around Arthur Blank said, you can't bring him in here. He'll fire all of us. That's the perception. That he had all the guys that were in the brain trust and said, Belichick's going to come in and clean house, which he may have. And then Arthur perhaps got some one-on-one with one of his good friends in the league, Bob Kraft. And the relationship was great for 2 decades. And it soured, and Belichick became this megalomaniac. And Kraft says, you don't want to deal with this. And then, of course, life after Brady was garbage. It just is.
It is.
So I wasn't interested. The guy I was told by our audience I was insane to want Jim Harbaugh. Now, I love Jim Harbaugh for one reason. It was so outside the Falcon box. It was so completely out of the realm of anything that we've seen Arthur Blank do in the past. I mean, let's be honest. Harbaugh, it's a solid piece. Defense. You see what he's building in Los Angeles with the Chargers? He's going to have brick and mortar. You're going to be solid in the trenches. You're not going to beat yourself. And hopefully, you know, he could work with Terry and they can put something together. Raheem, to a lot of our listeners, was a retread. You know, and I like Raheem. We love his energy. But you just said it. You've got four games now to prove that you and Jimmy Lake and all the guys you hired can fix this thing. Because even though this is year one, this is year eight for Falcon Nation. We've seen the incompetence. We've seen this team blow things and injuries and all the other things that happened after the Super Bowl, which, fair or unfair, is part of now. It's not fair. It's on your shoulders, too.
But, Mike, that's the bigger part. And it's not Raheem's fault that we have endured, okay, these losing seasons right. year after year. That's not on him, even though now we're hoping that he can be a part of the solution. And that is what we're battling as fans. Let's get over this Belichick thing. I mean, I'm telling you, if Belichick was here and we did the same thing, I guarantee you, you'd be telling me we hired the wrong guy. This is about every NFL coach. Sirianni went through this in Philly last year.
Right.
You have to show that when you go through these losing streaks, and sometimes they happen, you know what to do, you know how to deal with your guys, and you know the moves to make. Mm. Sometimes, even if that means Mike changing your quarterback. But you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Once we get out of this thing, we'll all feel a lot better. But to Mike's point, we are now going back to 2018, 7-9. Where were you guys in 2018? What were you doing? 7-9 in 19. 2020, pandemic's here, 4-12. This is what we've been dealing with, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. So Mike is right. That is our issue as a fan base. That's not solely Raw's responsibility. But this is why we brought you here. You gotta get us right.
Right, and that's why a lot of folks were lukewarm on the hire. And then you heard the press conference. Everyone says, "Man, I really like his energy, and I like." And the players warmed and bought into it. That's great. But now you've hit the bricks. You've really hit the skids, I should say. You've got to get this thing turned around.
Now,
we've seen 5-game losing streaks 3 times to Dan Quinn. We saw a 6-game losing streak. We saw a 5-game losing streak to start his last season. And then Raheem Morris finished as an interim coach with a 5-game losing streak. We lose to the Raiders. That's another 5-game. I can't remember another franchise I've ever rooted for as a fan every city I've lived in having that many 5-game losing streaks.
I will say this, and this is not necessarily in defense of Raw, but I would ask any of you, how much more can he do when Kirk Cousins is playing the way he is?
But you can change it.
You can sit.
You have the power to say, Kirk, I don't know what's going on.
Did you say I've got the power?
You've got the power.
I've got the power!
And I want to fight the power that is, for whatever reason, keeping Kirk Cousins under center, and let's go get Penix Jr. out there. Well, I'll tell you this real quick. We got a break. Belichick.
Yeah.
One thing Belichick never would have done. Now, if he could have brought Josh McDaniels in here, maybe. But the way he mishandled all those offensive coaches and nonsense was ridiculous at the end with the Patriots. But one thing Belichick never would have done is sign a quarterback and then draft a quarterback. He would have found a way, even if he lost value, he would have traded out of the pick, come hell or high water, and got multiple picks and rebuilt the elements that needed to be fixed. That's one thing he did historically with the Patriots very well.
But he didn't have to ever draft a quarterback because he had the greatest right. to ever do it. We don't know if he would have done that.
He never would have drafted a quarterback after signing a quarterback. Not in the first round.
He didn't have to ever worry about it once Tom Brady became established. For 20 years, he never had to worry about a quarterback.
He was the best personnel guy until he wasn't. I mean, he was real. But I'm telling you, Carl, Bill Belichick, on the soul of my father, as much as I know, as long as I'm looking at you, would never have signed a quarterback and drafted a quarterback. That never would have happened.
I can't say it. I do know this. North Carolina! Is he going to take this job? He's going to take this job.
And that's it. So you don't get to pass Shula for the all-time wins record. They don't count those Tar Heel wins, Carl, in the NFL.
No, they don't. Those are college wins. Man, we got the NFL blitz on the way. What's going on, Atlanta? We're talking about a lot of stuff today. We'll come back and tell you what we thought about last night's game. And also, is it more physical or mental with Kirk Cousins? We'll discuss. It's Dukes and Bell.